The question today is, what is the Holy Spirit's work in a believer after salvation? This is part two today, as we'll continue. We dealt with part one. We dealt with the fact that the Holy Spirit teaches you after that you've been sealed and love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost and you've got assurance. He said He'll set up a classroom in your heart. We read in Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, where He said, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Verse 12 said, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, in other words, classroom set up in your heart, and it teaches you to lay aside some things that we dealt with yesterday. Lay aside some things. In other words, lay aside ungodliness. Deny. It means to reject. Deny some things means to reject ungodliness, and that's that wickedness or anything that's against God. And also worldly lust, those things that longing for what is forbidden. Lay that aside. Deny those things. But He'll also teach you not only to lay aside some things, but He'll teach you to live for the Lord. Because Titus 2:12 also says not only lay aside or deny ungodliness and worldly lust, but He said teaching us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, teaching us goes along with this phrase as well. And when He says that we should live, the word live means to conduct one's life or to order one's step. It's referring to lifestyle that you have. And He's talking about the saints of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119:133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." That'd be good if we'd practice that. Well, if you're saved, you'll be trying to practice that because the Holy Spirit is going to teach you and guide you into all truth. In other words, and He'll teach you these things. He'll teach you to live for the Lord. So He said, deny ungodliness and worldly lust, but to live soberly. The word soberly means sound reasoning or self-restraint that governs all passions and desires. I want to say this, sound reasoning knocks a lot of things in the head. A lot of dress that people wear today, and men and women, if they just had some sound reasoning, common sense about it, they'd say, hey, this isn't fit to be caught in public in. And that, therefore, He calls you to live for Him soberly. But He also said live righteously, Titus 2:12. Righteously means acting in a just, upright manner. 1 John 2:29, He said, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Ephesians 2:10 said, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, good works don't save you, but God said once you've been saved, He ordained that you'd walk in good works, that you live a lifestyle, live for the Lord in good works, things that's right, acting in a just, upright manner. Philippians 1:27, He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conversation, that word there in the early King James Bible means not just you talk, but it means you walk. It means your manner of living. In other words, your lifestyle is what it's talking about. Living for the Lord. Let it be that becometh the gospel. The word becometh means to add to or strengthen. For instance, if you said to your wife, honey, that dress becomes you. You mean it adds to or strengthens her beauty and her physique in that sense. Well, you said let your manner of living be that adds to or strengthens the gospel, that other people might see Jesus in you and be used by the Holy Spirit, that evidence to convince them that He is the righteousness of God. And so therefore, He'll teach you to live for the Lord. 1 Peter 2:12, He said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And what that means is your manner of living. Let it be upright or honest among the lost, the Gentiles, that whereas before you were saved, they saw your lifestyle and said that you were not right. But now they see a difference in you and know it's evidence that the Holy Spirit can use when He visits them with Holy Ghost conviction. And in that day of visitation, they glorify the Lord by trusting Him as their Lord and Savior. So the Holy Spirit, what does He do in the life of a believer after salvation? He'll teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, but teach you to live for the Lord. Live soberly, righteously, but he said he'll teach you to live godly. Now, godly means showing reverence toward God in our actions. Well, where do we show? Where do we show that? In this present world. Not in a monastery, not as a hermit, but before others. In other words, in this world, God wants you to be an example, a light, if you please. Matthew 5:16, he even said this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And they glorify the Father in heaven by, like 1 Peter 2:12 said, in the day of visitation, by trusting Him as their Lord and Savior, because they saw someone real. Our problem today, many can't hear what we're saying for seeing what we're doing. But if we've ever been saved, grace of God, undeserved favor saved us, and the Holy Spirit sealed us and gives us assurance and set up a classroom in our hearts after that we're saved, and teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and teaches us to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world as a light. But he also said in verse number 13, and this word teaching us goes along with verse 13, we could read it this way, teaching us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he'll teach you to look for the Lord's coming, talking about his second coming. In other words, looking means expectant longing. In other words, the blessed hope that you're looking for and longing for is the Lord's coming. Acts 1:11, when Jesus was out on that Mount of Ascension that day, he ascended up through the clouds. And then the angel spoke to the men there that day, and they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." In other words, this same Jesus will come again in clouds. He left in clouds. He'll come back in clouds. And Jesus told his disciples on the way there in the upper room or on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go," and he did, and prepare a place for you, he is, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He said, "I'm going. And if I go," and he did go, and he said, "I'll come again." That's a promise of God. The Lord's never failed to meet his promises yet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, Paul writing the saints at Thessalonica who didn't understand really what happened to their loved ones who had died, and yet they were saved. And so they didn't have the completed word yet at that time. And here he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, in essence he's given, saying, "Don't worry, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And Paul explains this even further, that this meeting, or this being caught up, which is the word for rapture, it's not in the Bible word, but it's still in the Bible. I mean, the principles there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 57, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He's coming back again in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and catch up his saints. The dead in Christ arise first, and we who are alive, the saints that will be alive at that time, will be changed and caught up together in the clouds. Because he said, "I'm coming back in the clouds like I left. I'm coming back." And he'll come back one day for them. In Luke 19:13, a parable was given there, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy till I come." You see, the Lord doesn't want us just to sit down and sit. He wants us to be busy about the Lord's busy business, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, at the same time denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and with an expectant longing of the Lord coming again. Occupy basically means get you need your bags packed, but keep your tool chest open and work till Jesus comes. And Hebrews 9:28, he said, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You realize what he said in that verse? That he's only going to appear to those who are looking, and when he appears to them, he's talking about the rapture, when they'll be caught up. Only the saints going to be caught up. So it means only the saints who are looking. Folks, we've got a lot of people who claim to be saved today, and they're not looking for the Lord to come back. They're not expectant longing. And the Holy Ghost teaches you to do that, and yet we're not doing it. Many are not doing that. Now, there's two things possible. The reason for that, one is that many of so-called Christians have never been saved. They were short-circuited by well-meaning preachers. They short-circuited the work of the Holy Ghost, and he didn't finish that work in them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And as a result, they've not genuinely been born again. They have false profession. They're lost, and they'll die, and they'll go to hell. They're not looking for him. And I know there's many of them out there that way. But there may be some out there who are saved, and yet they're not really looking like they should look. That means and tells me that we're going to have to face some things. Some things are going to happen that's going to cause us to look. All the saints of God will be looking at the eastern sky whenever the Lord Jesus comes back again. They'll be looking. They'll know he's near even at the door. They won't know the minute, the day, or the hour, but they're going to know by the signs of the time that he's right upon them. And you say, but the Lord could come tonight. Well, I'm not saying he can't come tonight, but I believe that there's some signs to be fulfilled that before he comes. And when those things begin to happen, there's going to be persecution like we've never had before and never faced before, at least in America. And it'll cause all the saints of God to be longing and looking. And the Holy Ghost will teach you to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And at the same time, with an expectant longing for our Lord to come back again. Hebrews 2:11 said, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He'll not be ashamed of his own at that day. And the Bible says if we live like we should live, we'll not be ashamed when he comes. He'll find us at the right place. We'll be where the Lord wants us to be and cleansed. And, oh my, are you looking for him to come? If you're not, you better check out to see if you're really saved, because the Holy Ghost teaches you to look for him to come. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.